All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome to the law firm of Davis and Davis. We're not a real law firm. Go ahead, grab a beer, a glass of wine, sit back and listen.
We won't get 15 seconds because, like, it's double time. So, like, 7 seconds seems like forever.
I don't know what to do.
It's awesome. What are you talking about? It's great.
Thank you, Appleton. welcome to the Davis and Davis Show.
Good to see you all again.
It's another day, another dollar. Today's show is going to be very, very, very exciting. We are doing the top 15. I don't know how many castles Burke has.
I got 15. It was supposed to be 10. It's funny because, like, you know, two texts before Scott goes, hey, how many castles are we supposed to have? If he'd have read two texts up, it was 20 candies, 10 castles, 10. And he's like, fuck, I got 15. Whatever. Okay, we're good. So I got 12. You got 15. We're all good.
So, yeah, I'm going to do 15. He'll do 12.
And once again, you'll probably have more info than I do. I feel like I've not fulfilled my duties this week, and I have not done deep dives on any of these things. I kind of feel bad, but.
Wow. Well,
it's the antithesis of the show we did with the Kingsman, where I had another 30 minutes of goodies to go over and got cut short. I felt robbed. I had so much info on that show, but anyway.
Well, here's the thing. I have made this show a little bit interesting because Burke doesn't
know anything about this.
Okay, so it's the top 15 castles that we want to visit. And the thing about it, I have to turn that off because that thing is just too quick. Damn.
Stretch it out, man. You can adjust it.
So what I've decided to do, since I actually set up a PowerPoint, and I'm sure that Burke didn't.
You don't ever let me share my screen anyway unless I beg and plead. Why? I take that back. I do have pictures of every single one of these, so I can share to show you.
Okay. Well, here's what I have set up.
Okay.
On my turns, a picture will pop up first.
Okay.
I am going to ask you, do you know the name of this castle?
Okay. No, that's cool.
And
okay,
if you don't know the name of the castle, I will pop the name up. Then I will look at you and say, where is it located?
Okay, cool. I like this.
So,
and you've got 3 to go through first, because I got 12 and you got 15. So
yeah,
do your 3 runners up first.
Yeah. Now, first off, we have to get some of the bullshit out of the way.
Okay.
What the hell are you drinking?
I am drinking what I was drinking last episode. This is the, and now I can't remember, it's not Aviator, so that's a gin, which
no, it began
I
really
love.
H. Haddock or?
No.
Hardcastle?
No. It is
Hepatitis
Hangar One from California, made with your regular vodka stuff, but also grapes. And I added just a touch of lemon juice. I'm almost sad I did. This is a really good sipping vodka on the rocks, just straight. Unless I found the perfect vermouth, I wouldn't add anything to this, and I would definitely never, ever add olives. It would just clash. It's a really tasty. And I was just out there refilling my glass. I realized on the side of the bottle, they have the milliliters listed on the side. So yes. Like it's like in 50 milliliter increments. So I'm down to 250 milliliters, which is really sad because I only had a couple drinks the other day and I've gone through over half a bottle of this stuff, but it's really, really, really good.
I am doing a standard everyday beer, but I'm chasing today with some Jameson whiskey.
Ooh. Not a horrible thing to chase with by any stretch.
Not at all. Not at all.
No.
I'm actually in a fairly good mood today. Although I will tell you,
it sounds like you started out in a foul mood.
No, you know, I don't know.
You were tired.
I'm having a toothache. It's not necessarily tired. It is a toothache, which is self-induced by eating too much fucking candy. I mean, freaking candy. And I mean, hard candy.
Yeah. We were talking, I think over the break where I was, what was the candy I was talking about? Not now, later's, but,
no, it was,
the strawberry.
Yeah. It had the strawberry.
Anyway, I was chomping down. Like when I first had my first computer, I had a bowl of these candies, and they're hard candies. And I was just cracking them with my back teeth. And eventually, like after a month, my teeth were killing me. I had to quit.
Yeah, I've had that with a couple of candies. I had it with the Werther's originals that were hard. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
And I mean
Jolly Ranchers. Sorry, I was killing myself with Jolly Ranchers.
Jolly Ranchers, that's right.
The flavors are so intense, like the more you bit down on them, the better the flavor got.
Yeah, I mean their grape is to die for.
Oh yeah. The watermelon's killer.
But the Werther's, the Now and Later's kill my teeth. I don't know why.
Yeah, they're tough. I mean, we're getting old. Our teeth are not like steel anymore, unfortunately. So it is what it is.
I was looking to say I was eating the Milkita this week, and it's
two times tougher than taffy, I would imagine.
Well, it reminds me of the Tootsie Pop. Mm. You can't stop it, just one.
Yeah.
So, you're sitting there popping more and more and more in. And you're right. My teeth are not 18-year-old teeth anymore.
No.
And I was fine the day that I was eating it. I was fine the next day when I ate some more. Today, I'm literally slurring. I'm not drunk. I am hurting. My mouth hurts.
Yeah, you'll have that.
I will be drunk. Which reminds me, 2 days ago, Drunk Fest came out. I am so looking forward to the comments from Drunk Fest.
I just started listening to that today. I know I don't have a lot of dialogue in it, but I want to listen to the rest of it. Is that the one where people bitch at you for talking too much? Is that the one?
That is the one.
Oh, okay, good. Okay.
Now, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you right now. That episode was 4 hours long.
Oh, my God.
I cut out so much stuff. There's even stuff in there that I didn't cut out that I know we went over twice. We talked about it twice. But I left it in there because of the fact that different things came up about it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It
was like, oh God,
that was a bad morning. Oh my God, that was a bad morning.
Because
we had done one show and then that one invited 4 other people. And yeah, it was bad. It was funny as hell, but oh my God, it hurt the next day. Oh God.
It was almost as good as the Kingsman.
We were, both of us were annihilated by the end of Kingsman.
I mean, there was so much more that we could have talked about.
I had another 30 minutes of stuff on that show easily.
Dude, I couldn't see the buttons anymore. I was like, we gotta go.
I was having trouble like looking at my notes and pronouncing the words on my, I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm good.
Okay, yeah. I know that we are, we record our shows back to back, so it's almost kind of stupid of me to say this, but so is there anything that happened over the week that you need to discuss?
Other than new glasses and blown up brakes? No, we covered that last time.
But you have the kids at home.
Mackenzie came home today. Her and Sam are going to a show in Cleveland, a YouTuber. And they got some like killer VIP tickets. So they're like second row right off the rip. And backstage passes. So yeah, they're gonna have a great time. And let's face it, any show that you get to go to, doesn't matter if it's a rock show, if it's a talk show, whatever, if you're second row, that shit is just so much better. Like I remember in college, Cheap Trick came to the Civic Theater in Akron, Ohio. And I had just got done doing Kenley Players at the Civic. And so I was really good friends with the lady who was the manager at the Civic Theater. And when Cheap Trick came in, I'm like, hey, Patty, you got some tickets? She's like, oh yeah, how many need? I don't know, like 6? She's like, oh yeah, no problem. Dude, we were like dead center, 6th row in the Civic Theater watching Cheap Trick live. It was phenomenal. It was great.
I got hit 16 times by a guitar pick.
And the dude was sweating on me. I loved it. Yeah, it was great. Oh my God, it was so good. Yeah. So anyway, you've got some extra castles. Why don't you start off with your 3 runners-ups?
Did we get our half hour in?
I don't know. We can start early. We were running a little late anyway. So we can get started.
We're running a little late. Hey, okay. So no.
No. Well, like, we don't have a like actual itinerary this time. I don't know.
Yeah. We're doing a free form. That was done on purpose, Burke. I edited out a whole bunch of, well, that wasn't on the schedule.
Why? It's well, so you know, good.
We're behind schedule. Do you not understand that a show is fluid? It is fluid. It's going to meander around the corners the way that it meanders.
After Jackass got on, we were like, yeah, that's just out the window. Let's just talk.
Here's what I'm learning. And this is just Burke spending too much time in corporate America. So if I send Burke a schedule and I
hold Scott to it,
I go off the schedule by any means, increment. Like 30 seconds, a minute and a half an hour. I don't know what I'm going to do. I get the, well, that wasn't on the itinerary. According to the itinerary.
I was told I could keep my swing lane stapler. I have the memo saying that we could keep our swing lane stapler.
Shirley, you can't be serious. Yeah. I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Shirley. Now, if you would, give a little latitude between 8:30 and 8:40, or 8:30 and 9 o'clock, or you're doing this shit, be like,
but then
okay,
they switched from the swing line to the Boston stapler. But I kept my swing line stapler because it didn't bind up as much, and I kept the staples for the swing line stapler.
Okay, Milton.
And oh no, it's not okay, because if they take my stapler, then I'll set the building on fire.
Burn the building down.
I can understand this. People have their they have their thing.
Well, I assume that if you set a schedule, you wanted to keep that schedule.
Said schedule.
Yeah. So, I was just pointing out that your schedule said this. This is what you wanted. I don't really care. I don't have to go to sleep till 3 o'clock in the morning if I don't want to. I should, but I'll have to. I'll be fucked up tomorrow. Oh, whatever.
Let's see here. What do you see?
Stairs and Davis show. We're not a law firm. It's a podcast, dang it. The top 15 castles to visit.
Now since Mr. Davis over there.
The other Mr. Davis.
Only has 12.
Yes.
And I have 15. I guess what I'm going to do is I'm going to roll through.
At least three.
At least
fucking PowerPoint people, just whatever.
All right, the picture of the first castle has popped up. Do you know what castle this is? What
do
the name of it is?
I do not, and I'm gonna guess the country Bavaria is my guess on the country.
Well, before you guess that,
mm-hmm.
Let me give you the first hint, which is the name of the castle.
Braun. Yeah, not Bavaria. Probably Ireland or Scotland. I'm going to go Scotland. I'm going to go Scotland. Romania. Wow. Okay.
The infamous Braun Castle often finds itself surrounded by lore and mystery because of its connection to Bram Stoker's 1897 novel Dracula.
Very nice.
The medieval fortress was built between 1377 and 1388 atop the mountain pass between Transylvania and Wallachia. During the 15th century, Vlad the Impaler, my favorite
impaler of all time,
ruled over the land and the area and earned a reputation for his brutal torture methods. It is believed the castle's mysterious setting and Vlad's bloodlust inspired Stoker's notorious
bloodlust.
It was bloodlust. Sorry. Bloodlust. Once Transylvania, it became a part of Romania. And that's all you need to know. The castle serves served as the royal residence until 1947.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's why it looks pretty modern, at least the rooftops do. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, man.
All right. What's your next one?
My next one is... I hate PowerPoint people.
I do too. It almost looks like Edinburgh Castle, but I don't think it is. I'm going to go
for the name first, and then we go for location.
Don't know the name. It's not Edinburgh. I don't know. Vieden.
Yes.
I'm going to go French on this one. Luxembourg. Close.
Very close. Overlooking the river in northern Luxembourg, Vieden Castle was first built on the site of an ancient Roman watchtower.
Oh,
between
wow.
the 11th century. They built it over the 11th century to the 14th century.
And a lot of the castles that we're going to be going over are built on fortresses from very ancient times, Roman times, even pre-war Roman. So yeah, the iteration we see is built atop of many, many other things.
Now, this place was the residence of the royal family up until the 15th century. By the 16th century, the castle was left abandoned.
Oh, really?
Yes. And after years and years and years, it took until 1997 for it to be fully, the ownership went back to the state in 1977. They pieced it back together. And by 1990, it was fully restored.
Wow. That's cool.
So let's see, we're up to the 13.
Yeah, you got another one. So let's see your next one. Oh, God damn it. I almost had this on my list. Oh, and I do not have it on my list. All right. Let me recall gin-soaked brain. God, this was perfectly symmetrical castle, octagons, hexagons, has something to do with the Crusades. I want to say it's France, but I don't know, and I do not know the name. Castle de Monte.
And it is
Italy. I'm sorry.
From Andrea, Italy. It was built in 1240 AD.
Wow.
And it's correct, it is 100% symmetrical all the way around.
Yeah, it is like a really weird ass castle, because it is like none of the other castles. I can't think of any other castle. Maybe one in India. Yeah. Completely, yeah.
Now, there's some interesting stuff about this. Holy Roman Emperor Frederick II ordered the construction of the citadel. Revered as a masterpiece of medieval architecture, the fortress layout consists of an octagonal base. And towers at each corner of the 8 trapezoidal angles. On the 8 trapezoidals, there are rooms on 2 floors.
And you can see the slits.
Yes.
Which are specifically for archers, if I recall.
It is thought the geometric layout may have a deeper symbolic meaning with reference to the Holy Grail.
Yes, yes.
And the relationship between humanity and God.
Yeah. It was like half castle, half religious center.
Yes. So that was my number 13. We are up to number 12, which Burke has a number 12.
I have another 12. Okay.
That's going to be Scotland.
Yes. It is the Eileen Donan Castle, located on a small island of the same name in Loch Duich in the Western Highlands of Scotland. This castle has been used as a set for films and television going all the way back to the 1940s. One of the biggest films this castle was featured in was the Pierce Brosnan James Bond film, The World Is Not Enough, where you'll also see the castle used in the first installment of the popular Highlander series.
Gotcha. Okay. Let's see here.
Up to you now. That looks familiar, but I do not know it exactly. I do not know the name. I'm going to guess the country to be England. It's a shot I had not seen of that castle.
Okay, so this castle is actually tied with Buckingham Palace for me.
Yes.
This is Windsor Castle in Windsor, England, built around 1070. And I think this is the oldest castle on my list. Anyways, William the Conqueror began building Windsor around 1070. He did not live to see the final
fruition
built. It has been, the castle has seen many renovations from countless monarchs who have lived on the property, including Queen Victoria, who added the private chapel, which I do believe we just saw a wedding out of that private chapel.
I believe so, yeah.
So, yeah, there you go. Now, your next one, I've already seen the picture of.
All right. So, you know, it's Japanese, so yeah. That's no big, yeah. Can you guess which one?
Yeah,
I guess you've seen the name.
Well, it'll be Matsumoto's castle will become very synonymous in this presentation that we do.
Yeah, well, Windsor might pop up in mine too. You just never know.
So, I definitely have some that you're not going to have, but
I'm sure
Matsumoto is on my list.
Okay, cool. So Matsumoto. Yeah, Matsumoto Castle, Japan, 1504. I'm going to butcher these names. Ogasawara clan started to build a fort to fend off invaders. And only a few years after its completion, the military fortification was captured by the powerful warlord Takeda Shingen. As the castle switched hands throughout history, its design evolved into a tall, three-towered structure with inky black walls and roofs, which earned the nickname the Crow Castle. It's rather small. As castles go on our list, it's kind of small, but beautiful cherry trees on the property.
I was going to say the cherry blossoms around the backside of the building.
Yeah,
are absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, just absolutely. Yeah, and the red bridge over the moat is stunning. Yeah, it's a cool structure.
There were two castles in Japan, and I only picked this one.
Mm.
I probably should have picked both because the other one was.
I'm pretty sure I have it on my list, so don't worry about it.
There you go. All right. I even put like sound effects and shit in to annoy you.
I do not know the name of the castle. Oh, it's Castle Loma, apparently, because you popped that up already.
Well, the minute that you say that you don't know the name, I pop the name up, and hopefully that helps you with the location.
Oh, God damn it. Loma sounds Spanish, but fuck, it looks Bavarian. I'll go Spanish on this one. Spain. Really?
1903. Financier Henry Palat purchased 25 lots from developer Kirkland and Rolfe in Toronto, Ontario.
Let me ask you a real quick question.
Sure.
Did this appear in a film?
It has been in a film.
Was it in Scott Pilgrim versus the World?
I do not have that
okay.
information in here. I know that it was in The Rifleman.
Okay.
That is all I have.
I don't know many castles in Ontario, but yeah, okay. Okay, good enough.
Anyways, this one I have some info. It was designed by E.J. Lennox. It originally...
1911. I don't think I have a single castle on my list in the 1900s.
Really? I have like four.
Hmm.
The house cost $3.5 million at the time that it was built.
What's that in today's money?
I have no clue. It took 299 workers 3 years to build. It is a 98 room, 67,000 square foot
building. Jesus.
In the late 1920s, investors operated Casa Loma for a short time as a luxury hotel during Prohibition.
Hmm.
It became a popular night spot. For Glengarry and Casa Loma Orchestra, plus it was big during the swing era, blah, blah, blah. Where's the big thing? The Kiwanis Club took possession in 1937 and operated the mansion under a sole source contract as a tourist destination.
And fish fry on Fridays. That's cool, though.
I was just kind of amazed by that little bit that the Kiwanis Club took over
a castle.
Well, the city seized Casa Loma in 1927 for unpaid taxes, and the city is the one that gave it to the Kiwanis Club.
That's actually kind of cool. I mean, God damn, that's gotta be a lot of upkeep, though.
Oh God, yes.
Jesus.
I mean, but how cool is that?
The
place was basically a whorehouse, and the Kiwanis Club took it over. All right, sir. What is your
number 10?
Share?
Yeah. Let's see if I can screen share with you that screen. It's not going to be any fair because you can see everything, but.
Oh, that's the other one in Japan.
Okay. Himeji Castle in Himeji, Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Elegant white facade and jaw-dropping 17th century Japanese castle architecture has earned it the name the White Heron Castle in resemblance for its a bird taking flight. Originally built in 1346. That's a little bit of a go. Against local shoguns. The complex above the inland sea comprises 83 buildings with specialized systems of defense, protective devices. However, Himeji Castle was never used in battle, but was instead repurposed as a more residential castle. In 1931, the Japanese government designated this site as a national treasure. Guided tours are offered in both Japanese and English, and it also has a cherry blossom garden, which I'm sure is fucking gorgeous.
I'm all over that. I need some cherry blossoms.
Now, you know, D.C., district, you know, in Washington.
That was the gift from Japan.
Yes, yes.
For the building of the country.
Rebuilding after you bond them. That's not the hotel from The Shining, I don't think. I have no clue what the name is. The Fairmont.
The Fairmont.
God, I want to say it's like Switzerland. Another Canadian one. Damn. 1886.
The Fairmont Banff Springs, formerly
Banff. Lake Banff?
B-A-N-F-F.
I love Lake Banff.
Formerly and commonly known as the Banff Springs Hotel, is a historic hotel located in Banff, Alberta, Canada. The entire town, including the hotel, is situated in Banff National Park. The hotel opened in 1888 by the Canadian Pacific Railway, and one of the earliest of Canada's Grand Railway hotels. It was designed by Bruce Price. It is part of the National Historic Site of Canada. I don't know if you can consider this to be a castle.
It's close enough. I'm going to allow it.
I've watched enough YouTube shows to know that this is a very special building. It is huge. It is not the size of a normal hotel. That to me is a castle.
Yeah. That's some stunning scenery.
It was it was gorgeous, and it's right on the lake.
There is an old ass comic called Pogo. You can look up Pogo. He's an opossum, but they talked about Lake Banff, a place I always want to go. And I had to look it up at one point to figure out what the hell they were talking about. And that's where that was located at. So, Alrighty then. Am I up to number 9?
Number 9. Because this is on my list. I know it's on my list.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to stop sharing.
Okay. No, it wasn't Schwein Castle.
Nope.
You know what? Maybe it's not on my list.
Denmark?
It's not on my list.
Okay.
There you go. I don't know. I saw the location, Swanberg or something like that.
No, it is Frederiksborg Castle in Hillerød, Denmark.
How the hell do you say that?
Hillerød.
Oh, okay.
It is located on three small isle in the Castle Lake. Distinguished Frederiksborg Castle was built as a symbol of King Christian IV's power as a ruler of Denmark and Norway. The Renaissance Castle was the royal residence for 100 years before a major fire in 1859. It only has one chapel, and the audience chamber survived the flames. A nationwide lottery and collection were held to raise funds to rebuild the palace. After the royal family decided it would no longer stay in the castle, Frederiksborg reopened in 1878 as a museum of natural history. Today, it is a world-renowned museum that illustrates the history of Denmark through its impressive collection of portraits, historic paintings, and interiors of the castle. And obviously, the grounds are fucking spectacular. Chateau de... We'll go with France on that particular one.
I wonder why you would say that.
Chateau.
I can't even say it.
My daughter, who's just French, can't even say that.
Chateau de Chanachois. Appears as though it's elegantly flowing over the reflective Cher River.
Dude, that is a beautiful castle. Holy crap.
It's freaking gorgeous.
The parapet, apart from the castle, that's beautiful.
Yeah. It can be traced back to the 11th century. But here's the thing. It took the 11th century all the way until the 14th century for it to be built.
300 years building one building.
But it was Diane de Poitiers,
probably
the mistress of Henry II, who commissioned Philbert de Alamorne to build the castle's hallmark features. The arched bridge in the 16th century. So after it was built, she had this arched bridge put in leading up to it.
Oh, wow.
From one powerful woman to another, Catherine de Medicia. I give up. I can't see.
Yeah, I know. French eludes me.
Thank you very much. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
Castle.
The grounds around it are stunning. Holy crap.
They're wide open, but yet you have these trees with the perfect
bushes. Those look magnolia.
Are they magnolia or
I don't know.
They're pink dogwoods.
Wisteria maybe.
Wisteria would have been purple though.
You got lavender at the bottom. You got
God, it's gorgeous.
Judas Priest, that is beautiful, and it's all white facade on the cat. Yeah, that is gorgeous. Holy cow. All right. Time for me to share my screen.
It is time for us to take a little break.
It is break time. Break time.
I was wondering how long it was going to take you to notice that. Wow. Let's see, where do I want to go with this today? We're waiting. I guess we're not gonna wait.
There's music eventually.
A little bit of prog rock for you. All right, guys, we're gonna take a little break here.
See you in a moment.
All right. So I don't know if I ever told you this story. But the song that's playing right now is called Lavender. and it's made it up with a song called Kaylee.
Okay.
And my daughter was named after this song, Kaylee. The second part of Kaylee, Lavender, hence the fact that I named my daughter after that.
Good choice.
Thank you. Well, you did meet Sandy, did you not?
But yeah. I guess I can see where that came from. Anyway.
All right, sir. What's your next?
All right. I am going to share my screen with you.
I am ready. I know that. Maybe I don't. No, that looks like, no, it can't be. That's not it. That is not. Yeah, it is. It's new and new Schwanstein Castle.
Yes.
There it is.
In Schwangau, Germany.
Yes. And the only reason that I knew that is that it's on my list.
Okay. I will be brief. Okay. King Ludwig of Bavaria commissioned the castle in 1868.
Yes.
An escape from the public eye and political turbulence. And that is all I will say about that, because you are going to say some more.
And you will see later on when where it comes up why that castle is what it is.
Oh, I do know that one. It's also on my list.
Yes,
that I believe. Let me look. How is this not on my list? I believe that is Edinburgh Castle in Scotland. Yes.
Built in the 12th century. That's all I'm going to say about it.
It's my number three.
That this is going to be on your list.
Yep, that is my number three. I'm very pleased that we have overlapped so much, because there's just some really great castles out there, and there's so many, but yeah. What good shit there.
There's a lot of castles out there, but yours and my heritage, but that's where a lot of these castles are.
My heritage is mostly English, but like I have so much Japanese, and like the next one you're gonna be like, where the fuck is that one from?
Well, I mean, think about it. Windsor Castle.
That's just a given.
You know, Edinburgh Castle.
That's a given. That is like one of the most iconic.
I know that the Blarney Castle or whatever it is.
The Blarney Stone. Yeah.
Is probably on your list.
It's not, but it should have been.
You know what? It's not on my list either. And I mean, my heritage is English, Irish, Scottish.
Mine's English and Germanic. So.
And basically German. You know, Polish, they say Germanic Europe, which means that I could be anywhere from Europe.
Yep.
But anyways, yes, that is a Edinburgh. I honestly want to do a trip to follow my bloodline. And the Davis bloodline is Irish, Scottish, and Welsh.
That is just an iconic castle.
Yeah.
All right. Go share my screen.
Oh, hang on. Go ahead, sir.
Share. Big picture.
That is not on my list. It was one of the castles that I looked at, but I did not put it on my list.
But it's cool.
I mean, it's cool. It says that it's from France.
No. That's the one below it. Above it. Yeah, no. The pictures are always below.
To me, it looks like it's probably Moroccan.
Getting close.
Or North Africa is what I would say.
Red Fort in Delhi, India.
Oh, I was a little bit a ways there.
Yeah, you were close, you know.
Just a little bit outside.
Just a bit outside. Emperor Shah Jahan laid the foundation for the Red Fort after moving the empire's capital from Agra to the newly built city of Delhi. Behind the rather modest red sandstone facade lay an intricate web of inlaid panel designed halls and chambers mixing traditional Mughal style with Persian Timurid and Hindu design. Red Fort has remained the official seat of the Mughal Empire until the Indian Rebellion of 1857, when countless precious gems housed within his walls were stolen and the Bandir Shah II was forced out of power. However, it would serve an important role in India getting its independence from the British Isle, as a landmark of where, I'm going to butcher this one, Mr. Nehru, the first prime minister, would deliver his Tryst with Destiny speech. And every year on India's Independence Day, the current prime minister delivers a speech from the ramparts of Red Fort, highlighting its national importance.
Well, that's awesome. That is a nice looking castle.
Isn't it? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I think somebody just texted me. No, that was my Mally's chocolate.
Your delivery is imminent.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, shit. That's the one for the top of my list.
Yes.
Yes, we talked about this already.
Matsumoto Castle.
Yes.
Okay, so this is one of the things that really turned me on about this building. And I know it's not as big as the other castle.
It's a small castle.
But the... the cherry blossoms garden in the back are what really, really kicked me off to this thing. The second thing is the fact that it's almost completely surrounded by water.
Yes.
The only way to get to this place is that red bridge.
Yes.
It is a gorgeous testament to old Japanese style and
shoguns and
this is one of my bucket list places that I wish to go before I can't walk.
Well, you know, they got those little strollers and stuff with the little power stuff, you know.
Are you sharing?
I will momentarily if I can figure out where I am.
Where the hell is that?
That is Mont Saint-Michel in France.
Okay. Have you noticed there's been a lot of French castles that
I assumed that like Scotland and Ireland would predominate this list, and I was really kind of surprised when I started diving into this, going Germany and France and other countries have spectacular fucking castles. Oh my God.
That was my problem with Ireland. The castles in Ireland are they're all mostly the same.
Yeah, they're all the same, and they're mostly not kept up.
The castles in France, as well as Portugal and some other places, were just, they're so interesting.
Yep.
Because they're not normal.
Yep. So this is the located on the island commune of Normandy. It was built on an island for strategic reason. Yeah, it was surrounded by water, and it has been used for the same purpose dating back to ancient times. For extra reinforcement, there are also massive walls. In the 9th century, the castle was the home of St. Michael's Monastery. It survived the 100-year war without being destroyed. And today it is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. One of the castle's most notable features is its tall turquoise spire with a small golden statue of St. Michael on the top.
That's funny because that's one of the ones... Hang on. One of the ones that I did earlier was a UNESCO site.
No, yeah, there's quite a few on our list, I would imagine. Oh, God damn. I do not know the name. I'm going to go with France on this one.
What in the hell would make you think that it was France?
Chateau de Chambord.
Chambord, France, built in 1519, a magnificent display of French Renaissance architecture. Chateau de Chambord.
Chambord. Do you know the alcohol associated with Chambord?
It's called Chambord, liqueur, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it blackberry liqueur?
Yeah. Let's see here. 400 rooms, 280 fireplaces, 80 staircases, a decorative moat, making it one of the most captivating structures built in French monarchy. King Francis I began construction on the Grand Chateau in the Loire Valley. As a weekend hunting retreat.
Yeah, that's my castle in the woods.
400 room weekend hunting retreat.
Jesus Christ.
Let's see here. Enthralled with the astonishing work of Leonardo da Vinci, Francois insisted elements of the castle, such as the double helix staircase, be directly inspired by the Italian polymath. Francois, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. Francois was a freaking moron, and he spent way too much freaking money on this building. But it's gorgeous.
It is beautiful. Holy cow.
There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There are 5 spires that are what I call extended raised. They're lifted. There's still another 15 spires, which I
that's a sick.
Yeah, I love the guy. Good job. Right. That is what I want to build in the middle of Medina.
All right, time for me to share. You ready?
Yep. Hang on. Go ahead.
I can't see it.
I can see it.
Okay. We've seen it before, but this is a different view.
That's Windsor.
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Built in the 11th century, holds the record for the longest occupied castle in Europe. The interior was designed in the 19th century in the Gregorian style. It is the well-preserved castle complex. It is utterly massive. It is England's most popular tourist attraction. Ergo, I want to go see it. Despite its role in tourism, it still functions as the home of Queen Elizabeth, where she spends her weekends. Although I've heard her health is not good, and I don't think she is there anymore. Under major renovations currently. In 2011, two water turbines were installed on the Thames to provide a hydroelectric power to the castle, so it could be a little more green. So, There you go.
Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah, she is not, she can't walk well, apparently, at the moment. So,
when you're 90, I think she's 96 right now.
She has outlived a lot of people.
Give it up. I am excited to see a king put back into power.
Okay.
Hang on. Here we go. Boom. Ooh, yes. I am so looking forward to see if you... Yeah.
Ooh. Not a clue as to the name.
Really?
No. Marseille pops into my mind. I'm going to go France with this one. Schwerin Castle. Ooh, I think I'm going to... 942. God damn.
The origins of Schwerin Castle date back as far as 942 AD.
Wow.
When the first traces of the fortress can be found on the palace's dreamy island. The castle didn't take its final form until 1847. When Grand Duke Friedrich Franz II commissioned George Adolf Demmler to renovate the dated structure. The Grand Duke instructed Demmler to design a castle that felt modern yet celebrated the stunning architecture of heritage of the past. There are 653 rooms.
Damn.
Including a throne room outfitted with Carrara marble, gilded iron doors, and an ancestral portrait galleyway.
That's the kind of castle that is beautiful inside
and outside.
Yeah,
that is a dream castle, my friend.
Yeah. Alrighty, I must share my screen now.
Oh, let's see here. Stop sharing. Go ahead. That is the other Japanese castle. Matadori?
Nagoya.
That's it.
It's a tough one.
Well, and I was going off of memory. I wasn't.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Because it's not on my list, so I couldn't look it up. But I remember looking at it and here's why it didn't make my list. The grounds around it are not kept as nice as the other castle.
No, they're not.
And that kind of it wasn't necessarily a 100% no to it. It didn't make my list. If I had a top 20 list, it would have been on it.
It's got a little more recent history, I think, for me. It was built during the Edo period of Japan in the feudal era. It dates back to the 1520s. The structure that you see today was completed around 1612. And it was built, and a warlord usurped control of the original castle and named it what it is today, Nagoya Castle. It was used in World War II as a military operations, as a headquarters, as well as a POW camp. It has incurred significant damage during this time. It is the most wartime degradation of any castle out there. But they have rebuilt it. Stunning white and green castle has been restored to its original beauty. So it's just got a lot of more recent history. So,
all righty. I think this is the last one before we take a break. Sure. Ooh, look at that.
Ooh. I do not know the name. Bosnice. It just sounds French. I'm going to go France on this one. Slovakia. Very nice.
Built between the 11th century and the 16th century, according to written records found at the Zobor Abbey, this Romanesque castle might have first been built as a wooden fort. And it could have been built all the way back to 1113 AD. Stone slowly began to replace the wood, and by the 16th century, Gothic castle boasted Renaissance elements. While he might not have been, he might not have been the first owner of the fortress, King Matthias Corvinus of Hungary might have been one of the first to invest in its future. The ruler often came to the small city to work on his decree and dictate them under a linden tree on the grounds that bear his name. So there you go. I'm not going to talk about any more than this.
It is a truly gorgeous castle.
Look, this is a fairy tale castle here.
Yeah. I look at the mountains behind it. I'm sure the view from... I would assume that's the chapel there in the center. It's got to be gorgeous.
I think this is the chapel, but the
parapets. Oh yeah.
Here's the fact that really gets me is that you could tell by the fact that this went all the way to the 16th century. You could tell that because the roofs are all copper. That's either copper or bronze.
I bet they were slate originally. But yeah.
But you can see that this is that green oxidation that you get with either bronze or
that
copper.
Top looks like orange, though. Is that? It could be iron. Well, who knows? But yeah. Yeah, that's gorgeous.
La, la, la. Oh my gosh, it's not break time yet? When the hell is break time?
Yeah, we're all the way, pal. That's the castle.
Now that's not Edinburgh, is it?
It is Edinburgh.
Oh, it
I
is.
I told you it was on my list.
Dude, it's freaking small on my computer. Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Now I don't know who the statues are.
I don't either. I did not dive that deep, but the whole castle sits on top of a volcanic plug. So yeah. Basically all the ground around it is kind of soft, but the stuff it sits on is like basalt or something seriously strong. It was settled in the late Bronze Age or the early Iron Age. In a 1990s dig, they revealed clear signs of habitation from the first and second centuries AD. So we're talking like 1000. That had been a fortress of or something, you know, in the first century of the whole world. There are references that Ptolemy made to Luna, which could be this castle here.
Okay.
They have found Roman pottery and bronze and brooches from the Roman period, digging up from that era. Is the oldest fortified, one of the oldest fortified places in Europe. With also a very long history as a royal residence, military garrison, prison, and a fortress.
The Edinburgh Tattoo Festival is done there, I do believe.
Oh.
Ooh, exciting.
That is gorgeous. I have no idea of the name. God damn, Peña National Palace. Like Spain popped into my mind as the first. The colors are so vibrant. I'll still go with Spain. Portugal. Yeah, close. Okay.
Influenced by Middle Eastern and European Baroque styles, the Peña National Palace represents the eccentric and colorful flair of the 19th century. So basically, this was not built until the 19th century. And it is on the hill in the Sintra Mountains.
In Portugal.
In Portugal. It is the summer home for the Portuguese royal family. The vibrant shades decorating the facade indicates the palace sections, such as a red clock tower and a restored covenant. And
convent.
And a yellow new palace. So basically they've separated every place by color.
Yeah, I love the boulder, and that thing is
huge.
One and a half story boulder they just built on. Built a palace on top of a boulder. That is cool.
This thing is gorgeous, and I wish I could have gotten a couple of pictures from different angles, because it's literally built on the side of a mountain. So all of a sudden you're seeing rock, and then you have this beautifully colored building. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Hey, look at that UNESCO World Heritage Site.
Hey, there you go. There you go.
There you go. People, guests can trek up to the castle and hang around in the lush, hilly landscape.
Oh, it is break time. Thank God.
Dude, that was a long freaking run. But this was this was the only break that I put in here.
We'll be back shortly.
Ooh. That's a nice one.
Welcome to the 80s. We had a whole lot of 80s today.
I'm more partial to their first album, but I love that song.
All right, people. The Davis and Davis Show is back. We have our top castles that we wish to go to at some point in time in our lives. Yes. We're down to our top two, dude.
Top two or? Yep, top two.
Top two. You see me getting comfortable on the couch here. I just did a shot of Jameson.
Never a good sign.
Well, I figured we have two left. And
I switch off the alcohol at this point because, yeah, I'm done. Don't want another drunk fest.
Some of us can handle our alcohol. I of course say that as you can see my leg sitting sideways in the picture, and anyways. So we're up to Burke's number two.
Time to share the screen.
I'll be Ray. Wait, you've shown that castle twice.
No, this is my number two.
Dude, that's... That is the same castle. That is the Neuschwanstein Castle.
Well, we talked about that, but this is my number two. I have not had this on my list before.
No, you showed that picture earlier.
You might have seen it, but I didn't want to show it.
Oh, okay.
Edinburgh was before that, so you might have seen it, but this is
not. All right, so that's your number two.
That's my number two. Built on the top hill of southern Bavaria, Neuschwanstein is a truly remarkable citadel, built as a retreat for the reclusive King Ludwig of Bavaria in the second half of the 19th century. If it seems familiar, it was the inspiration for the iconic Disney Sleeping Beauty Castle, upon which the Disney logo is based.
Okay. Scott's number two. Are we ready?
No, but do it anyway. I have never seen that castle in my life. It looks newer architecture, however. Don't know the name. I'm gonna go German. Pele. Ooh, I fucked that up totally. Portuguese? Romania.
Taken. Okay, it is Pele's. Is that how you say that? I don't know how that accent works.
I'll go with that. I'm fine with that.
Pele's Castle.
Pele's?
Taken by the enchanting Bucegi Mountains. King Carol I commissioned the construction of a neo-Renaissance style castle in the quaint village of Sanaa. During the 1860s, the royal summer house contains 160 rooms, all of which have distinctive themes.
Ooh.
After years of serving as the royal residence, Pelias Castle eventually was abandoned when Romania fell to communist rule.
Ooh. The
castle reopened as a public museum after the revolution of 1989. Now, here's the thing about this. This is almost a Tudor-styled...
Yeah, I was getting like... yeah.
It's very almost Tudor-styled, but the wood that they used was like a redwood. So all of your cross timbers in inlaid in the plaster are red. So it's absolutely gorgeous. Now the spires I am reminded of Eastern Ukrainian
almost Jewish
not Jewish, it would be Russian Orthodox.
Yeah, Russian Orthodox. Absolutely.
Almost Russian Orthodox spires on the castle.
Main one. Yeah, the foremost one. The one with the clock tower, little more English in its design, especially with the colonnades above them with the God, that looks like I'm having trouble seeing at this point in the night, but yeah, now interesting architecture.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous castle.
But to the right of the one, oh my God, that is
to the right of the one. What?
To the right of the Orthodox one. Yeah, that peak to the right of that.
Yeah, over here.
The other right.
Oh, over here.
Yeah, that is. What?
Shoot, that almost looks like it matches the one over here, though.
Yeah.
See, this almost looks Bavarian.
Yeah, or that is some interesting mixes of architecture there.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here, but I'm telling you, it's gorgeous. It is
beautiful. If you look to the very left of that picture, that looks like mountain ranges. I bet the views up from there are fucking spectacular.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this thing is built on the side of a hill, and you have mountains all around you, and I'm sure that you have a lake in the bottom. Yeah, there you go. Well, it's open as a museum now, so there you go. We are up to Burke's number one.
Yeah, I got unscrew my pictures. Please hold on. Oh, what did I do, Ray?
Jackass.
This one should be easy for you. Share.
What are you sharing? Let's see here. That looks Irish. That's Irish or English. I can't tell. I would say Ireland.
Alnwick Castle in England.
Ooh. Okay.
It is where Harry Potter is filmed.
Oh, really?
Yes. Did you not see the picture of Harry and Hermione and the brooms right there at the top?
Well, no, it's very hard to see.
Oh, sorry.
It's only about 2 inches wide.
Yeah. So this is...
How big is that on your screen? Because
I blew it up on my screen so I can see everything. But after Windsor Castle, it is the second largest inhabited castle in England. Alnwick is the 10th most visited stately home in England, with almost 200,000 visitors in 2006. This was increased significantly as the subsequent decade. It has been home to the Percy family for over 700 years and remains the home of the 12th Duke and Duchess today. It is most recently featured in the movie The Transformers: The Last Night. It was also featured as the Brancaster Castle in Downton Abbey. And it was featured as the Hogwarts Castle in the first two Harry Potter films, as well as appearing in Elizabeth and Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Gotcha.
So I want to see it because it was a fucking Harry Potter castle.
I am all over that.
Knew you would be.
But it is not my number one.
That's all right.
My number one, you have already seen. We've actually seen it twice.
Oh, God, yeah. I have to go back on my pictures. Yeah, that is, Neuschwanz. Neuschwanzain. I don't know how to pronounce that. Neuschwanzain?
Yeah, something like that. Neuschwanstein.
Neuschwanstein.
Here's the thing. This was almost built in the 1900s.
Yeah.
It was commissioned in 1868. King Ludwig II of Bavaria. There actually is a reason why this becomes my number one. And that's that when I think I was 18, 19, something like that, my mother bought me a 3D puzzle of this castle. I was in 19 or 20. I was about 25 because I was living with Sandy. Sandy and I built this.
Oh, wow.
And it was, I mean, the puzzle was hard as hell.
Oh, and I can't even imagine.
The minute that it came out, I was like, holy crap, this place is so cool. Now, what makes this cool is that the gatehouse in the front is actually built out of red brick. Ooh. Where the rest of the castle is built out of white limestone. So you have this contrast. You don't really see it from this view. You have to see it from the other side to see the contrast. And it's gorgeous. Now, I always thought that Hogwarts, the actual Hogwarts that was built, I do believe that this was probably the main inspiration for it.
I would assume so.
They look very much alike. The spires are almost exactly the same. It's just a different color. It's a fascinating castle, and the fact that you can actually stay in this castle now as a guest in the hotel.
Ooh.
I want to do it.
Let me share this front view.
Yes, there's the front view.
And yeah, that's very Hogwarts.
Yes. And it's all built up on a plateau of a
above a lake. A hill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a gorgeous building. Honestly, that is the top on my list. Swear to God, you said that twice. I'll find out in the editing. And if you did, I'm just gonna be like, you're drunk.
Yep. It's all good.
You're all done. It's 11. It's midnight where you are.
It's past midnight where I am.
You have to work tomorrow, don't you?
No, I am off on Wednesdays.
That's right. You're off on Wednesdays.
Which is
that's
why we do the Drunk Fest on Tuesday nights.
All right. Exciting how that turned out today.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. Like we a lot of overlap, but that was all good, man.
It was it was definitely worth the time.
Oh yeah.
I was scared when you came up with this idea.
And then you're like, oh shit, man, there's some cool shit out there. Like, not, just 10? Only 10?
Now there was some weird shit though.
Oh dude, there's so many more out there though. Like, yeah. I mean, there's 30,000 castles in Ireland alone, but there's so many. Like, I was surprised when I started looking into this, like, so many other countries have so many really kick-ass castles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I could do this one. It might be time for this one, though.
You killed it. What the heck?
Yeah, there's another one that has to play.
Oh.
I mean, it's the end of the podcast. I don't know if I might be able to play this whole thing because I just realized this is 6 minutes long. God, you gotta love some prog rock.
Now, oh, man, Kate Bush, you just can't go wrong.
In this proud land, Peter Gabriel and Kate Bush both in this song are absolutely phenomenal.
They did a lot of collaborations independent of these songs, but yeah.
Now, Peter Gabriel always had great women to back him up.
Oh yeah.
The other song that we're playing, In Your Eyes.
I cannot remember her name. But yeah, no, I can't remember her name. But she was like an African world beat. Yeah, but yeah.
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 As a matter of fact, I watched the video from the first year that they toured together, and I was sitting there going, wow, she's absolutely flat ass gorgeous and has a voice from hell.
I've never seen her and I don't care because her voice is phenomenal.
It is what it is. So, what do you have coming up this weekend?
Installing a storm door is about all I can figure that I got going on this weekend.
Dude, your life sucks.
Yeah, and so does yours.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Are you doing anything as exciting as that?
I have absolutely nothing.
Okay, there you go.
I'm going to sit around and yank my wanky.
In 10 seconds later, we'll get that sound clip.
Yeah, it is what it is, man. All right, this is about to pop over. There it is. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We're done.
It's like our ending credits on EDM. It's awesome.
I literally cannot see the monitor anymore. I know that Burke's trying to dance. It's scary. On that note, everyone, have a great week.
We will talk to you later.
Yeah. Hang on. It's going to take 30 seconds. And we're waiting. We're waiting. We're waiting. We're waiting.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.